Good morning, 6:38 here on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. State Representative Alex Andrade is heading over to Tallahassee a little bit later on this morning for the opening of session. Representative, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Hey, good morning, Andrew. Thanks for having me on.
Good morning. So you are the Education Policy Whip. What does that mean?
So what that generally means is the policies, the bills coming through in the Florida House related to education are kind of, it's my responsibility to make sure that the House's goals in that arena are being met. So it can mean anything from helping, you know, decide on what bills get heard in committees to helping certain bills pass if they're important to the Florida House. You know, making sure that we're in line or getting what we need from the Senate in the same kind of way. So it's just it's mostly just a strategy kind of position. You know, it's been fun, but it's just a lot of work, a lot of helping educate other members on what's going through that silo.
Well, it's as you say, it is a lot of work and a lot of effort to make sure that all this stuff happens. I have two education bills that I specifically wanted to ask you about this morning. There's so much just in the education realm that we really need to talk about. The first one, though, is one that was filed on the Senate side. And I'll be honest, I don't think it has a companion yet in the House. Maybe it does, but you tell me if I'm wrong about this. This is Senator Baxley's bill. Now, Baxley, by my read, is a fairly significant senator, and if he's filing the bill, it means that he's probably got leadership support on it. Again, you tell me if I'm wrong, but this bill really concerns me. The bill would basically say these degrees or these study courses at the university are approved because they produce jobs. These others are not approved because they do not lead to jobs primarily. The government, the taxpayer, should not be funding non-job-oriented courses of study, and so Bright Futures money would be available only to students who are in job-producing courses of study. In principle, I love this bill. I love it in principle. I hate it for the fact that you've got to lay out for students in advance for a long time what those are and are not. I've got a student right now who's done like 50 Bright Futures hours, and it sounds to me like they're saying, maybe your major will qualify, maybe it won't. Help me out.
So you need to distinguish between technical colleges, state colleges, and universities, right? Mm-hmm. So we have two big, massive federal pots of money that come down every year that the state administers. They're called Perkins and WIOA. Those funds are generally geared towards job placement, right? So training that leads to a job. Those funds normally go to technical colleges and state colleges. If you look at the state university system statement of purpose and mission in chapter 1004 of Florida statutes, the state university system has a different role, right? So they're part of the pursuit of knowledge and good citizenship and research. And the state university system is the place for liberal arts philosophy, for students who are developing and maybe going to grad school or down the line. The question, and what we always have to grapple with at the state level, is with your public dollars, what is the purpose of the public dollar in that system? And so you brought up the Senate bill, it's Senate Bill 86, and the goal of that Senate bill is largely to gather the information about which degrees lead to job placement after attainment of that degree. Because if we're taking your money, it has to have a identifiable benefit to society.
I totally agree. So
you're right, Andrew, in that we can't be penalizing students, but Florida has not done a good job of gathering the data from its state technical colleges, its state colleges, and its universities on what degrees they're offering that have actual benefit. Like right now, we don't have the data to say, you know, for any single, you know, certification or course provided by a technical college, anywhere from like baking to nursing to welding, we don't have the data that says how many students leave after getting that course completed and go into that field for employment.
Yeah.
And we don't have the data about how much they're making 1 to 5 years out. Without that data, we don't know if we're doing right by you, the taxpayer. I think you're going to see a lot more of this type of focus on collecting that information and data going forward.
No, and I totally agree with that, too. And again, in principle, I completely support the bill. You know, the public dollars can go to support the general matrix of higher education. Bright Futures does not need to go to that entire scope of work. It can go just to job. That makes sense to me. And I totally agree with you gathering the data. In fact, I've long advocated that I think it's a nutty system that colleges get paid whether you get a job or not. They ought to get a slice of your income for the next 20 years is how they ought to make their money, instead of just flooding it with the hope that they're going to produce something beneficial. But, you know, that's a conversation for a different day.
They're going to get a slice of your income no matter what. And that's the unfortunate part is no matter what, you're going to leave your state college, state college, university, and you're going to be paying taxes.
Right. Exactly. Right. But the particular question I have about this bill is, however it gets marked up over time, it's got to include a provision so that people who are in high school can plan to know that their course of study is in or not in the list. That's the only thing I see as a problem here.
And I understand where you're coming from on it, and I think that's absolutely a consideration. The other bad piece, the other thing that we're doing a poor job of is explaining to students what getting that certification or degree is going to result in.
Absolutely.
Students, if a student doesn't know if they're going to be able to get a job when they go into that course of study, we're letting them fly blind right now. Students and families are flying blind in Florida. If their ultimate goal is to have a job in that degree of study after they're done with the program.
Right.
So this is a benefit for families as well.
Yeah, no, and that whole goal of just have a magic piece of paper and it'll all work out in the end, I couldn't agree more. And the emphasis on trade schools and alternate paths of study for actual jobs, all of that, totally agree about. The other thing I wanted to ask you about, since you're the education policy whip, we're talking to our representative, Alex Andrade. Probably other education issues we'll deal with in subsequent weeks. I know this issue of the missing kids right now is a big issue for you. But since it is the beginning of session, I'd be a little bit remiss if we didn't talk about that. What are the kind of the COVID restrictions? Are you guys going to be able to vote in chamber? How is this going to work?
Yeah. I'm leaving Pensacola this morning, going directly to go get my COVID test that I have to take at the beginning of every single week before I'm allowed to interact with anybody in the Capitol. And then tomorrow we will go on the House floor. Some of the restrictions on the House side, you know, we're a younger on average body than the Florida Senate. Is that, you know, no one can be on the floor before members go on the floor for session. So they're trying to protect the environment. So it's just members walk on the floor and then leave. And, you know, masks are generally required/recommended. And it's mostly restrictions on who can come into the building and where they can go. So while the Florida Senate pretty much has everyone barred from entry, you know, your Florida Senate committees right now, the testimony is being done remotely.
Right.
From the Civic Center a few blocks away. The Florida House will allow people in, but it's with, you know, somebody walking with you from Capitol staff, from State House staff. And that's really just you don't have lobbyists or constituents walking the halls right now.
So I assume there's no gallery or there's nobody in the gallery. Is that all true too?
No, gallery is severely restricted. Tomorrow's the opening day of session, and each member got to invite one person instead of, you know, generally their family members and whatnot. So
yeah.
it's restricted significantly for sure. But it's not completely barred.
And now today is – so tomorrow is the beginning. Is today the last day for fundraising? Is that true?
Yeah. So during session, Florida legislators are not allowed to accept campaign contributions. So today is the last day members can accept campaign money before they are barred during session. The intent, obviously, is to avoid any kind of undue influence when we're casting our votes and you know, working on the budget.
And can you still file bills after tomorrow, or did the bills already have to all be filed as of today?
So for general bills are barred, you know, between today and after today or tomorrow. But committee bills can still come out, right? So if there's still plenty of policy that's not been released yet, that'll likely come out as committee bills, where a committee chair will assign a member a bill from that committee to run for the rest of the session, like a general bill.
Okay. All right. Interesting. Yeah, some of the particulars here are interesting. And that's also true of local bills they can't initiate again, or are local bills still open?
No, bill filing deadline for everything but a committee bill is essentially barred after today.
Okay. All right. Very good. And just last quick thing is, you know, obviously it's there's a lot that goes on. Everything, for the most part, dies except for a few bills that survive. I mean, that's all. The attrition rate on bills is amazing. But is there anything particularly that, you know, you're working on this session? I know you've got like 25 bills that you've sponsored, which is impressive. But anything particularly you want to notify constituents about this morning that you're working on?
Yeah, there's several, but, you know, on the funding side, it's always going to be water quality and infrastructure. And while, you know, my appropriations bills are important, the budget, I keep having that hammer home, the governor's proposed budget is where you want to get your money. You don't want to get your money from appropriations. The other big policy issue, though, is I'm trying to get a study done on this chemical called PFAS. PFAS, if you've seen the Navy's given reports out and notified neighborhoods around Whiting Field and yeah, other local military bases where, you know, those neighborhoods can no longer drink their well water because they're concerned about contamination from this chemical called PFAS. A lot like we had like lead concerns and petroleum concerns in decades prior, PFAS is used in so many different ways, and we know now that it's harmful. So we need to get an understanding of where this stuff is, and the state needs to take on a larger role in this field. So the first step to get something set up, like a Browns Field or a Petroleum Trust Fund to help clean up all this dirt in Florida and protect Floridians, is a study. So this year, one of my big focuses that really doesn't get talked about a lot because we have a very limited understanding of what PFAS is the study, so that in the future we can justify a fund to help clean up all of this contaminated soil in Florida.
All right. Well, very good. And, I mean, that's Jayer's district primarily. Whiting is not yours, but I assume you guys are working together on this, right?
Oh, well, it's not just Whiting that has the problem.
Oh,
there are
sure,
neighborhoods
sure.
in the Sandy County that that haven't been allowed to cook with their water or drink their water for months. Because their soil all around some bases is completely contaminated. You know, like I said, PFAS has been around for decades. There's high amounts of it in soil in Florida, and we have to start addressing it soon before, you know, the federal government under a Democrat administration starts cracking down and completely limits our ability to buy and sell property. You know, starts fining our local governments potentially for not cleaning it up and doing enough on the front end.
All right. Well, this is we should have been doing this anyway, but let's do this now for sure so that we can at least have a little bit of control over it. Alex Andrade, he is our state representative for District 2, southern half of Escambia County, plus Gulf Breeze, plus Pensacola Beach. Alex, thanks so much for the time. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks, Andrew.